Most of you would know that my responsibilities with MSC is in full swing at the moment. It starts after Easter. On Thursday, Friday, we were at the warehouse at the office at MSC receiving goods that are heading to Africa again. But it might be of interest, you probably got an email, maybe if you're on the MSC prayer chain, but as of April 1st, we have a new CEO at MSC Canada, Randy Hoffman. He is from Heidelberg Assembly out southwestern Ontario. Phil Barnes hasn't left, but he's got different responsibilities with MSC right now. So he's a lovely brother and loves the Lord dearly, and has got quite a bit of experience behind him. He's also a speaker and goes around and ministers at various places. If you would join me in turning in the scriptures to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading at verse 18. The subject this morning, and the one that we can trust by all imaginations and all because of the word, that I've entitled this message, Nothing But the Blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Let's pray. Father, as we consider your word this morning, we thank you so much that you loved us so much that you gave your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for all mankind to redeem us. When we lost it back in the Garden of Eden, Lord, you've redeemed us to yourself. And we thank you for the blood. And this morning, Father, as we study this little subject on this, we just pray that you would bless us and give us a heart that understands. In Jesus' name, amen. I may have shared this story with you before, but I found it in a little more detail, and I think it's a good place to start. Many years ago, when a large religious service was being conducted at the Golden Gate Exposition in San Francisco, many people quickly became aware that the minister delivering the main address was not thoroughly orthodox. Although a gifted speaker, he began to direct most of his eloquence against the power of the blood of Christ. Ruth F. Marsden relates that when his fluent oratory ended, a timid elderly lady stood up in the midst of the crowd and softly began to sing the great hymn by William Cowper as a touching rebuttal to the modernist's remarks. A hush fell over the assembly as they heard those faint but familiar words. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Before she began the second stanza, approximately 100 people rose to join her. By the time she reached the third verse, nearly 1,000 Christians all over the audience was singing that blessed song of faith. The triumphant, thrilling strains rang out loud and clear, Dear dying Lamb of God, dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Many were deeply moved as that humble believer stood up for her Lord, and with the light of heaven upon her face gave testimony that she had found peace through the blood of his cross. We live in a day and age and an hour when both within and without the church, they see no need for the old-fashioned, Bible-centered, blood-bought salvation. Sort of disheartening in some sense when you look at some of the things and you hear what is being said. They say things like, man doesn't need the blood in order to be saved. We live in a time when mainline denominations have moved to proclaiming a social gospel instead of the gospel proclaiming salvation through the blood of Christ. But some have even gone so far as to remove songs from their hymn books that deal with the blood. And I would consider those are modernistic liberal hymnals. Here is a quote from a female theologian named Dolores Williams. I don't think we need a theory of atonement at all. I don't think we need folks hanging on crosses and blood dripping and weird stuff. How can you call yourself a theologian? Well, it doesn't matter much what Miss Williams or others of variety think. What matters is what God says in his word. It is through faith that we can see that a body emptied of blood becomes a corpse. So faith, devoid of the cleansing but of Christ Jesus, is a dead faith. The shed blood of Christ is the bedrock of your and my faith and salvation. Apart from the blood, the church, the Bible, the gospel, and faith are all dead. But thank God for the blood that was shed on Calvary's hill. And I'm glad that the blood is still very precious today, very relevant today, and very available today. And it will be until we see him face to face. Others may flee from the truth of a bloody salvation, but I will cling to the one who shed his blood on the cross. Religion may decry it or call it out of date, repulsive and barbaric, but I'll just stick with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I trust you will stick with it too. Robert Lowry got it right when he penned the words to the old song, "Nothing but the blood." What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, let's look at some things in relation to the nothing but the blood. There are five things I want to touch upon. The first one is nothing but the blood can produce a Savior. And let's go back to our verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. May I suggest, and we look from this verse, that obviously we see that Jesus was foreordained before the world was ever created. The Lord was destined to become the sacrifice for sin. And of course, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the Lamb, book of life of the Lamb, slain before the foundation of the world. Secondly, Jesus accomplished many things during his walk on earth, such as God became flesh in John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14. And I'm going to read that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us as we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How about Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus fulfilled many other Old Testament prophecies. The virgin birth in Isaiah 7:14. He was born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. He was of the seed of David, Jeremiah 23:5. He was a man of sorrows, Matthew 8:20. He was a man of compassion, Isaiah 42, verse 3. Jesus lived a sinless life. 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 5:21? For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Several years ago, I was down in Mexico, and I was asked to speak at this little country church. It was being translated from English to Spanish and from Spanish to the local language. And I quoted this verse, and the pastor who was sitting behind actually stood up and stopped me and stopped all from translating. He had never heard of this verse, and he was quite concerned that Jesus was made sin. Of course, he had no sin, but he was made sin on because he bore the sins of the world. And that, we actually had, the missionary had to actually stop and explain that to him, because I didn't know what the conversation was about until afterwards, of course. He lived a sinless life. Jesus taught a better way to live. We think of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, ye have heard that it was said, but I say unto you. Just look that up in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Jesus also deliberately or zealously defended the truth of God. Look at John 2 and 15. He cleansed the temple. He said, this is a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. Jesus also perfectly modeled God before men. John 14, 9. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus did so many things while he was upon the earth that John 21, 25 tells us that the world is too small to hold all the books that could be written about his deeds. It's hard to imagine what we have in the scriptures if it would fill the universe with what he did. That's amazing. That's who we worship today. Jesus was and is and will always be the only Savior of mankind, no matter what man says. And it was fulfilled when he climbed Calvary's mountain. He was nailed to the cross, and he shed his blood and rose again from the dead. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. In his death, he became your Savior and my Savior, if you know him this morning. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So we see that nothing but the blood can produce a Savior. May I suggest that nothing but the blood can purchase the sinner? And that's 1 Peter in our verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 18 declares us to have been, what? Redeemed. By definition, it is to liberate by the payment of ransom, to buy back or purchase, to get or win back, to free from what distresses or harms, such as to free from captivity by payment or rent of ransom, to extricate from or help to overcome something detrimental, to release from blame or debt, in other words, to clear, to free from the consequences of sin. That's pretty good redemption, don't you think? Why do we as sinners need redemption? Let me suggest, of course, that because we are slaves to sin. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one. And Romans 3, 23, of course, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are separated and lost from God. We find that in Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And it is only our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, that brings us the ability to stand in faith before the throne of grace. And we are all bound and hopeless apart from Jesus. The old nature. Psalm 9, verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Proverbs 21, verse 8 says, the wicked flee when no man pursues. Remember, I probably shared this with you, but when I was working with Doug Robinson at Hope Valley, the pool was being put in, and we were working down at the river with the pump house, and the foreman that was working, putting in the pool, he actually came down. I think he just wanted a change of scenery. And Doug began to share the gospel with him, and he had to leave. He couldn't stick around. And Doug quoted this verse, the wicked flee when no man pursues, and I never forgot that. Never forgot that. Christ's blood offers the redemption we as sinners need. The blood frees us from sin's power, and we can find that in Romans 6:14. The blood brings us into fellowship with the Father, Revelation 5:9. Let me read that. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. The blood gives peace and assurance. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood changes our eternal destiny. In Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Try anything you will, only the blood fits men for heaven, the blood of Christ. Came across this little story. Theologian Emory Bancroft wrote this, and I quote, some years ago, a parliament of religion was held in Chicago in connection with the World's Fair. At that parliament, the great faiths of the world were represented. One by one, the leading men arose and spoke for Buddhism, Confucianism, Hinduism, and Islam. Then Dr. Joseph Cook of Boston, who had been chosen to represent Christianity, arose to speak. Now, some of you will be old enough in this congregation to remember Lady Macbeth's, the story about Lady Macbeth. And he says here, here's Lady Macbeth's hand, he said, stained with the foul murder of Duncan. See her as she preambles through the halls and corridors of her palatial home, stopping to cry, oh, cursed spot, out, I say. Will these hands ne'er be clean? Then Dr. Joseph Cook, turning to those seated on the platform, he said, can any of you who are so anxious to propagate your religious system offer any cleansing efficacy for the sin and guilt of Lady Macbeth's crime? An oppressive silence maintained by them all. Only the blood of Christ can purge the conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He then quoted 1 John 1:17. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And with that, he sat down. Those who are saved can sing the song of the redeemed. Do you enjoy singing? You enjoy singing the songs we sang this morning? Well, it's a testimony to what the work of the blood of Christ has done in your heart and your life. Nothing but the blood can produce a Savior, can purchase a sinner. Thirdly, nothing but the blood can purify from sin. And that's in our text this morning in verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. This verse declares that the obedience to the truth of God's words purifies the soul from sin. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that, of course, is through the Word of God. And this has always been God's plan. The shedding of blood has always been in God's plan. And I want to take you back to Adam and Eve. How did God clothe them after they sinned? Didn't he have to kill an animal and clothe them with skins? There was a shedding of blood. What about Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, verses 2 to 4? God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice, which was of firstlings of his flock. And Cain got pretty jealous and upset that God did not recognize his. What about Noah after the flood? I'm going to read this, Genesis 8, verse 20 and 21. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. There was a sacrifice after that tremendous worldwide event. And what about when God gave the guidelines of worship to the Jews? He demanded blood, didn't he? And it started with the Passover in Egypt when they were released from bondage of the Egyptians. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. But in Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Under the new covenant, God still hasn't changed his mind. Hebrews 9:22 says what? And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It is so important to see the blood. Religion can't do it. Good works can't do it. Wishful thinking can't do it. Heartfelt promises can't do it. But one trip to an old-fashioned altar can change a person's life. What about the woman at the well? What did Jesus say to her? Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water which I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Nothing but the blood can produce a Savior. Nothing but the blood can purchase a sinner. Purify from sin. How about purify or preserve the saints? Verse 23 of our text says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What the blood does in us is a forever completed work. Just as you sat on your chair, we can trust Christ, we can trust the word of God implicitly because God cannot lie. It is of incorruptible seed, as this verse says. The blood guarantees us eternal security. And of course, we can go through John 3:16 for that and Ephesians 4:30, which says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. The blood gives security. The blood promises absolute security in Christ Jesus. And that's John 10:28. Having grown up in Trenton, my dad used to tell stories about the Spanish fight against the Dutch. And he talked about a sea captain. But I came across this story, which I thought is very appropriate. I'd never heard of this before. But for many years, in the marketplace of Rotterdam, Holland, stood an old corner house known as the House of a Thousand Terrors. In the 16th century, King Philip II of Spain ruled over Holland. In his oppressive rule of the Dutch, he tortured, maimed, imprisoned, and exiled thousands. When the people rose up in defense, he sent a Spanish army under the Duke of Alva to put down the rebellion. In the city of Rotterdam, the city of Rotterdam held out valiantly for some while, then finally fell before the Spanish army. The victors went from house to house, ferreting out citizens, then slaying them wholesale in their houses. In one house, a group of men, women, and children huddled together, 1,000 terrors gripping their hearts as the Spanish soldiers approached. Suddenly, a young man had an idea. Taking a young goat belonging to the household, he killed it and with a broom swept the blood underneath the door of the house at the front of the house. Then they waited breathlessly as footsteps approached. Soon the Spaniards were bartering at the door and they heard one of them say, "Oh, look at the blood running out from under the door. Come away, men. The work here is already done." A while later, after the army withdrew, a band of thankful people emerged safe and sound. They lived because a goat had died. You and I live because a lamb have died, our eternal life. Another illustration, during the Boer War in South Africa, several wounded British soldiers became trapped in a depression or under heavy fire from the enemy. In desperation, they used their own blood to paint a red cross on a white cloth. This they tied to the rifle and lifted out of their hole. Their enemy saw the gruesome symbol and had respect for it, turning away their fire. An example of Napoleon, after the defeat of Waterloo, he would often point to a red spot on the map that covered the area of Waterloo, and then he would say, "If it were not for that one red spot, I would be conqueror of the entire world." Pride, isn't it? Satan must spend some time point to a red spot called Calvary and declare, "If it were not for that one red spot, I would be the owner of many more souls." Thank God for that red spot called Calvary. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, through it does a person find true eternal salvation. The Lord Jesus, as it were, is our lifeline. What a blessed Savior we have. What is our position in Christ? I always pray this daily, reminding myself, what is my position in Christ? John 1 John 4:4, "Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Colossians 3:3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Ephesians 2:6, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Nothing but the blood can produce a Savior, purchase a sinner, purify from sin, and preserve the saint. What about promised salvation? In verses 24 and 25 of our text, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." Only the blood of Jesus offers you any hope whatsoever of salvation. Think of the Philippian jailer and his family in Acts 16:31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." The blood has never and will never lose its saving power. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them." Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. For God doeth it, that men should fear before him." The blood's power is still available today. to all who will come. Revelation 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Romans 10, 13 says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And of course, John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Story is told about Dr. Charles Finney, probably a familiar name. And I'm going to read this in its entirety, and I must admit that when I first read it, it brought tears to my eyes. Many years ago in Detroit, Michigan, a well-known evangelist, Dr. Charles Finney, preached on the text from 1 John 1:17. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. After the service, a stranger asked Dr. Finney to walk home with him. Advised against it by the church officials who knew the man, Dr. Finney went with the man. Ushering the preacher into the rear of the building, the stranger locked the door, put the key in his pocket, and said, Don't be afraid. I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to ask you a few questions. Do you believe what you preached on tonight? Dr. Finney says, I most certainly do. The man continued, we're in the back of a saloon. I'm sole proprietor. Mothers come in here, lay their babies on the counter, and beg me not to sell liquor to their husbands. I turn a deaf ear to their cry. We see to it that when a man leaves here, he's well under the influence. More than one night, a man leaving here has been killed by the express strain on the tracks. Dr. Finney, tell me, can God forgive a man like me? Dr. Finney replied, I have but one authority, the Word of God, which says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's sin, cleanses us from all sin. But that's not all, admitted the man. In another room, we have a gambling hall. If a man doesn't spend all his money on liquor, we bring him back here with marked cars, see to it that he's fleeced out of his last dollar. We send him home penniless to a hungry family. Dr. Finney, I'm sole owner. Tell me honestly, can God forgive a man with a heart like that? Again, Dr. Finney replied, I have but one authority, the Word of God, which says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The man spoke again. That's not all. Across the street is my house where I live with my wife and little daughter. Neither one has had a kind word from me for 5 years. Their bodies bear marks of my brutal attacks. Dr. Finney, do you think God could forgive a man with a heart like that? Dr. Finney lowered his head. His eyes filled with tears as he said, My friend, you have painted one of the darkest pictures I've ever gazed upon, but I still have one authority which says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The man opened the door, ushered the preacher into the night, then never left the room till daybreak. Not before ripping up decks of cards and pouring the contents of bottles down the sink. Across the road at home, he sat in his living room. His little girl called, Daddy, Mother says breakfast is ready. When he answered his little girl kindly, she went back to his mother. Mommy, Daddy spoke kind to me. Something's the matter. The mother followed her little girl to the living room. The man beckoned them both, taking one on each knee. He explained to their amazement that they had a new husband and daddy. He ended up by saying, I'm done with all that business across the street. The man later became a member, then an official in a leading Detroit church. When asked to tell how his life had changed, he would simply reply, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we have just thought about the blood of Jesus Christ this morning, it's probably good for us to be refreshed on all the things that it has accomplished for us. And Lord, for some who do not know him, and we think of some of our family members, we pray that the reality, the realization would come, that you would lovingly convict them of sin and draw them to yourself. And so, Father, we give you all the praise, the glory, simply because we are loved, and it was shown through the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection at Calvary. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we're going to be singing the song that I first quoted, and I think it's number 256. Nothing but the blood. I think in honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let's just stand and sing this song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, we just pray for your blessing upon us this week. We thank you so much for the blood. Thank you that we have come to that place at the cross, at the foot of the cross. And Lord, that you call us to an old-fashioned altar. We pray that, Lord, that we know that the blood will never lose its power. But Father, we just pray that that power would effectively work in the lives of those around us and those who still need the Savior. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.